Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Today we're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 1 to 24. One Sabbath, Jesus was having dinner in the home of an important Pharisee, and everyone was carefully watching him. All of a sudden, a man with swollen legs stood up in front of him. Jesus turned and asked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses, "Is it right to heal on the Sabbath?" But they did not say a word. Jesus took hold of the man. Then he healed him and sent him away. Afterwards, Jesus asked the people, "If your son or ox falls into a well, wouldn't you pull him out at once, even on the Sabbath?" There was nothing they could say. Jesus saw how the guests had tried to take the best seats. So he told them, "When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the best place. Someone more important may have been invited. Then the one who invited you will come and say, 'Give your place to this other guest.' You will be embarrassed, and you will have to sit in the worst place. When you are invited to be a guest, go and sit in the worst place. Then the one who invited you may come and say, 'My friend, take a better seat.' You will then be honored in front of all the other guests. If you put yourself above others, you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored." Then Jesus said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends and family and relatives and rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you back, and you will be paid back. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the paralyzed, the lame, the blind. They can't pay you back. But God will bless you and reward you when his people rise from death." After Jesus had finished speaking, one of the guests said, "The greatest blessing of all is to be at the banquet in God's kingdom." Jesus told him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited a lot of guests. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to tell the guests, 'Everything is ready, please come.' One guest after another started making excuses. The first one said, 'I bought some land, and I've got to look it over. Please excuse me.' Another guest said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen, and I need to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another guest said, 'I've just gotten married, and I can't be there.' The servant told his master what happened, and the master became so angry that he said, 'Go as fast as you can to every street and alley in town. Bring in everyone who is poor or paralyzed or blind or lame.' When the servant returned, he said, 'Master, I've done what you told me, and there is still plenty of room for more people.' His master then told him, 'Go out along the back roads and make people come in so my house will be full. Not one of the guests I first invited will get even a bite of my food.'" This is God's word. You may be seated. This week I met a guy called George. And we met under undesirable circumstances. I was driving on the M1, coming from City Center, past the bridge. Traffic was backed up for about 2 kilometers. And I was trying to work on my patience, knowing that I'm stuck in traffic. Behind me was a small truck. And the driver of this truck, a guy called George, he was also stuck in traffic just like I was. However, there was traffic going the other way, the opposite direction. And one of the cars beside us on the other side, in the other lane, ran over a bottle and made a popping sound. I paid no attention to it. George decided to look, because he thought somebody had rammed into another car because of the noise. So he turned and looked. And while he was looking, his feet got excited. And so one of them stepped on the accelerator. And then I heard, pop! Not only did I hear it, but I felt it. And I knew somebody had rammed into my car from the back. I went, my patience obviously went out the window. I opened the door. I was going to go talk to this guy, George. Dude, what's your deal? George is like, I'm so sorry. I was distracted. I heard the noise. I'm like, dude, I'm not interested in the explanation. Why are you ramming into my car? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I wasn't paying attention, and then my feet got excited, and this happened. I said, okay. He says, I'm sorry. I said, it happens. I'm sure it's happened to me before, but we're not going to talk about that now. What should we do, George? George says, well, you know, I would love to get your car fixed for you. So, how would you like to proceed? I said, you know, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. I'll go ask him how much it would cost to get this fixed. And then how about I call him and we leave the cops out of this? He says, oh, thank you. That would be so convenient. I said, okay, because, you know, it's a small dent. I don't imagine that it would be too expensive, but I'm not paying for it. You have to. So he says, yeah, I'm cool with that. You go to your guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, and you find out how much they would cost, they would charge to fix it, and you let me know, and I will sort it out. So I go and ask the guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, and then he told me that all of this should be about $100,000. So then I called George. They say it'll be $100,000. He says, okay, cool, come by my office. And so I go to his office, and George says, what would you like to be the mode of payment? Check or cash? And my answer was, are you people? We are all in the same WhatsApp group. I said, cash, George. Show me the money. Because with cash, I don't have to go to the bank. I don't have to line up. But later I realized that there was a third mode of payment that would have been better than cash or check. Rather than him paying cash or check, it would have been nice if he had just paid attention. Back on the road.
All right.
Paying attention is hard. because there are so many distractions. Even when a car is right in front of you, you might not see it. We have such a hard time paying attention to things. The tragedy of modern society is that we also have a hard time paying attention to people, seeing people, even people that are right in front of us. In the passage we have read, we are confronted by Jesus. He diagnoses this disease, the inability to pay attention to people. Even people that are visibly vulnerable. In this story, we encounter a man who has swollen legs. Some Bible passages, versions say he suffered from dropsy. And the contemporary English version figured we wouldn't know what dropsy is. So they just say he had swollen legs. He stands up in front of Jesus, and Jesus decides to draw the crowd's attention to this man. And so in this encounter where Jesus is having dinner at a Pharisee's house, not just any Pharisee, it says that it was an important Pharisee. I think sometimes we like to imagine that Jesus went around bashing Pharisees and never having dinner with them. And here we see him having dinner. And I've parked that portion of the passage in the back of my head because I don't know how to process it, that Jesus had dinner with Pharisees. It's kind of weird. But he's at this dinner at the house of a Pharisee. And there is a man with swollen legs who is visibly vulnerable. And I think from this story, in our reflection and examination and meditation of paying attention to people, especially people that are visibly vulnerable, three questions I would like us to think about. Why we don't pay attention to visibly vulnerable people? And second question is why we should. And the third is, how you can. Why we don't pay attention to visibly vulnerable people, why we should, and why you can. Before I begin, a question for you to talk about with somebody next to you. When was the last time you saw someone that you would describe as visibly vulnerable? Have a chat. It's interesting that when we are asked, when was the last time you saw someone that you would say was not visibly vulnerable, you don't get a room full of silence with no one who can think of a time they saw something. The reason we don't pay attention to people that are visibly vulnerable is not because we don't see them. Obviously we see them. But I think there is something about society that sort of moves us away from the visibly vulnerable, even though we see that they're there. So three reasons. One, there are social rules that sort of despiritualize paying attention to the vulnerable. Here in Jesus' situation, he says to the Pharisees, who are very, very religious people, and he says to them, do the rules that you people enforce in the name of God, do those rules allow healing this man, attending to this man's needs? And in asking that question, Jesus knows that in his society, certain rules have been put in place to discourage people from paying attention to the visibly vulnerable and to actually encourage people to not pay attention to them in the name of God. That here on the Sabbath, there are things that are more spiritual, more pleasing to God than paying attention to the visibly vulnerable. Paying attention to the visibly vulnerable is often, in many social rules, not regarded as a spiritual exercise. If you want to do something spiritual, go to church. If you want to do something spiritual, go to the prayer meeting. If you want to do something spiritual, come to the Bible study. If you want to do something spiritual, go preach. But on your way to church, to see somebody visibly vulnerable and stop and attend to them? No, that's not spiritual. That is seen as the inconvenience. And Jesus flips the script. He says, you guys have rules that tell you not to attend to a guy like this on a Sabbath because you think that is a spiritual thing to do. And he heals him. This is God in the flesh healing this man in order to show them that God is about this. Yes, God is about the Sabbath you keep, but this is also something God is about. Helping the refugee, helping the rape victims of Msundwe, helping the beggars, helping the broken, helping the lame. God is about this. Not just about the Sabbath, not just about the reading of Scripture. God is about this. Because here is God attending to this man, showing the Pharisees that don't think attending to this man is the unspiritual thing to do and keeping your Sabbath is. God is about this too. And this is typical of Jesus because he likes to bring God into everything. Which is like the annoying thing about Jesus. And it's also the best thing about him. Because even if you invite Jesus to dinner, don't think you've done yourself a favor. He's going to invade your dinner party and do the most awkward stuff in order to bring God into that space. Because there is no arena of life where Jesus accepts to have God not be welcome there. So Jesus confronts this, that we have social rules that despiritualize certain areas and certain activities. There's a second reason why we don't pay attention to the visibly vulnerable. Because there are social ranks that demand it. Jesus says to the crowd, when you go to a dinner party, to a party, to a feast, he actually says, a wedding reception, don't take the best seat. Because the more important person may have been invited, and then you'll be embarrassed when you're told, dude, get off that chair. You go sit in the back. Why is Jesus saying this? Because Jesus knows that in society, generally, there are people who have ranks. Governors, mayors, CEOs, executive directors, and all men, you better not get it wrong in the introduction. If somebody is a president, you better not call them vice president. If somebody is director, you better not call them coordinator. Coordinator? I didn't spend 5 years in college for you to call me coordinator.
Just 5 years.
And then MCs get corrected. Actually, it's executive director. There are people with rank. A And when they walk into a room, they sort of demand attention. And because they demand attention, they're visibly vulnerable to getting ignored. Jesus knows this. So he challenges the crowd and says, when you go to an event, look for the spot you think the vulnerable deserve and go sit there. So that when the important and high-ranking officials walk in, the attention they demand does not distract you from seeing the vulnerable places. But this is one of the reasons we don't pay attention to the vulnerable, because social ranks demand so much of our attention. Reason number three, there are, here in this passage of scripture, he also turns to the man who invited him for dinner. And he says to him, even for you, when you invite people for a banquet or a party, don't just invite the ones who can pay you back. He says to him, invite, I believe the list was the lame, the blind, who cannot pay you back. And Jesus is saying, one of the reasons we don't pay attention to the vulnerable is because there are social rewards that diminish paying attention to the vulnerable. That if you can't get anything back for it, it's not worth it. And the vulnerable are often people whom, if you help them, you may likely not get anything back for it from them. Because often that's what it means to be vulnerable. And so we do our calculations. Who can pay me back? Who can invite me to their house? And Jesus says, when you do a party, don't focus on those who can pay you back. Focus on God's reward. And somebody said, one of the reasons to focus on God's reward is because his shovel is bigger than anyone else's.
That's great.
When God pays you a reward, can you imagine the magnitude and majesty of the reward that God will dispense? He says, when his people rise from death, what do you have to reward a person who has risen from death in order for them to feel like this is a big deal? A man who has risen from death with immortality, you can't offer him money. He'll laugh in your face. You can't offer him pizza. I'll throw you a pizza party. What's a pizza party to a man who has risen from death? Nothing. You can't say, oh, we'll give you a standing ovation. What's that? To a man who has risen from death. So when God says he's going to give rewards to his people when they rise from death, we should not think this is a small thing. Because think of what God has to come up with as rewards for people who have risen from death in order for them to think, now this is a reward. Now this is a reward. And Jesus says, for paying attention to the vulnerable, God has reserved those kinds of rewards. So why should we? Why should we pay attention to the midst of the vulnerable? Reason number one, to expose what is actually broken about them. We see a man with swollen legs and we immediately assume that the most broken thing about him are his legs. Well, he can't see, so the most broken thing must be the eyes. Can't hear, so it must be the ears. We judge people that are visibly vulnerable and assume that the most broken thing about them is their handicap. The thing we have that they don't. That's how we assess brokenness. Who doesn't have the things that I have and are able to take for granted? Jesus flips this. He says, let's talk about you guys. If your son falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not pull him out immediately, at once? Will you not do it at once? Will you not cancel your trip to the synagogue to attend to your son at once? So then the question becomes, what's the difference between your son whom you would pull out of the well on the Sabbath and the paralyzed man that you have come up with rules for nobody to help him on the Sabbath? What's the difference between the two? It's not the legs. The difference is the relationship. Your son is somebody you love. This man with swollen legs, the only reason you're happy for him to not be attended to at once on the Sabbath is because you don't love him. You don't care about him. If you loved him, if he was your son, you would be begging me to heal him. What's really broken in society is not the pain people suffer. It's the lack of concern and love and connection. The lack of solidarity to see somebody in pain and to see them as somebody you should love. That's what's really broken. So by attending to people that are vulnerable, we expose that what's really broken here is their relationship with me, not their lips. Because if I love them, I want them to be attended to immediately. And the reason why I feel I can afford to ignore this is because I don't really actually love this person. I walk into a hospital with my son this week. He had an ear infection 2 weeks ago, and I sat there and my heart just sank because I saw a line of other sick people, which means I have to wait. I have to wait for my son to get attention. Oh, I hope these people's problems will be dealt with quickly. The thought crosses my mind. But what's wrong with these people? It's not because they're in front of me in the line. It's just that I don't love them the way I love my son. And that is what's broken in our society. The incapacity to see people that are hurting and to love them. Love them. So when we help the vulnerable, we expose that. The second reason why we should is in order to examine our place among the vulnerable. Because when Jesus says, when you go to a party, look for the place that's for the vulnerable, look for the worst place, go sit there. He's actually directing us to take our place among the vulnerable. Because even if you are not visibly vulnerable, are we not all invisibly vulnerable? Do we not have invisible legs that are also swollen? Do we not have spiritual eyes that are also blindsided? Do we not have spiritual ears that are also deaf? Does the vulnerability become worse simply because it is visible? No, Jesus says, you take your place among the vulnerable. Because you're one of them. You're one of them. Is it really worse that somebody walks into church in a state, maybe drunken state because they're an alcoholic, and you can visibly see that he's been drinking all night? And during worship, when you're trying to meditate, he's like all over the place, making noise and outbursts that are disruptive. Is that vulnerability really worse than my invisible sex addiction? Is it really worse simply because his is visible? No, he says when you go into a crowd, you take your place among the vulnerable because you're one of them. You're one of them. Third reason why we should. In order to experience the power of God's kingdom, a man there said to Jesus, it almost seems like he's trivializing a little bit what Jesus is saying about parties on earth and the need for us to pay attention to the vulnerable in our social settings by telling Jesus, you know what you really should be talking about is the banquet in heaven. Being there, that is the blessing of God. And Jesus says, not so fast. Because even there, the situation is one where the people who don't see their need for God give excuses. And the people whose needs are ignored, God invites them in. That is what the kingdom of God is like. In other words, don't change the subject. Don't start talking about the banquet in heaven and how much of a blessing that will be. Because what I'm telling you to do in social settings here on earth is a taste of the kingdom. I am inviting you to experience the power of the kingdom of God here on earth. Because what I'm telling you to do in your social settings, that is what will happen at that banquet. The people you think are not vulnerable, they don't get in. The only people who get in are the ones who see their need for God, their hunger for what he has served at his banquet, and they are prepared to make their pursuit of that their number one pursuit. More important than the fact that you just got married, or are hoping to be. More important than the fact that you just bought a piece of land, or 5 teams of oxen. The ones who see the banquet of God, the feast of God, what he has served, and they see that I need that. I need that more than anything. I need my place there more than anything. The ones who see their need, they are the ones who will have a taste of it. The ones you think don't need it, they won't have a taste of it. So I'm telling you to do this here. Because it is here that God wants us to begin to experience the power of God's kingdom. And what is the power of God's kingdom? Seeing the vulnerable, attending to their need, bringing them in, and giving them a place at the feast of God. How can you attend to the vulnerable? It's not about the money. It's about the relationship. The way to attend to the vulnerable is by building with them relationships of exchange. When you rescue your son from the well, it's not a one-sided relationship. By rescuing him, you meet his need of rescue, but you also meet your need of having your son back. It's a relationship of exchange. When Jesus says, when you go to a feast, look for a place that you think is worse and sit there. So that when the one who invited you sees you, they can engage you in a relationship of exchange. So that honor is never taken, always received as a gift. Received from the owner of the house and the party, who invites you to an honorable place because he also has something to gain by having you close. It's a relationship of exchange. Jesus' way of attending to the vulnerable is through relationship of exchange. Not just, here is some money, now get out of my face. He actually says, no, throw a dinner like you would for your family, with whom you have a relationship of exchange. They benefit from your life, you benefit from theirs. Set up scenarios where you can have a relationship of exchange with the vulnerable. Because you must never assume they have nothing to give. And is there a relationship of exchange greater than the one Jesus has engaged us in? Because even here at this dinner, he heals the man. The man who was being ignored, and perhaps, maybe people were sneering at him, he doesn't belong here. Jesus heals him and sends him home, and Jesus stands there in the midst of that crowd so that any fire that man would have received comes on him. He takes his place. A relationship of exchange. That is the kingdom of God. And you are part of it. Let me close with this thought. The parable Jesus tells at the end troubles me. Because the master in the story invites the rich, the beautiful, then this little old way. Then Mr. Universe with his muscles, Brad Pitt, Justin Bieber, Beyonce, and Jay-Z in his mauve suit. They get an invite from the master, and none of them come. And then the master gets angry, and then he starts inviting the riffraff. This bothers me because it seems to suggest that in his initial invite, the master ignored the vulnerable. He only thought of them because these others rejected the invitation. I don't know what to do with that, how to process that, but I think in telling that story, Jesus is cutting through something we all identify with. But there are times in our lives when we ourselves feel like God has ignored us. And in telling this story the way he did, I think Jesus' message is, the good news is, you may feel like God ignored you and attended to others, but your moment will come. You will not feel ignored by God forever. And so if you're feeling Like you've got something in your life today that maybe you have cried out to God and you think he's not attending to it. God sees you. He sees you. And if you would like to engage in a relationship of exchange where people can pray with you over that and help you bring it to God's attention, we have prayer counselors that would love to pray with you as we sing the last song.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.